Welcome into the Beat here on WGN. Kevin Powell with you for the next hour and a half. That will take you up to Blackhawks pregame, and the man who will be hosting that pregame show is Chris Bowden. He just happens
slave
to be
driving today, man.
Happens to be just sitting right next to me.
Unbelievable. First time working together here on the show.
I think so,
and
yeah.
I think we kind of broke the ice when I barged in on you in the bathroom a little while ago. You didn't lock the door.
Accurate and, story. I think so, my mind was just all in all sorts of places. I was nervous. I'm like, I got to do a show with Chris Bowden.
Inhibitions were out of the way. I didn't want to bring this up during White Sox week. Like,
yeah, that's I'm glad you didn't. Very high executives, very important people listen to that program. Chris did walk in. Fortunately, I was just washing my hands at the moment.
Got to lock that door. Single station door. You know?
This is the Beat. Plenty to get to in the sports world. College football rolling on. Northwestern getting a win, snapping a 7-game losing streak. Man, what a season that has turned into for the Cats. But they got the victory today over UMass. Notre Dame rolling on to a victory over Wake Forest. Some other Georgia Auburn. There's some significance there with the college football playoff. What else? Blackhawks are playing much better. Bulls are playing tonight. And Bears. Trey Burton, tight end, breaking news about an hour or so ago. Trey Burton, tight end, headed to injured reserve. His season is over, Chris. What a disappointment Trey Burton has been. Really, we saw some flashes last year from him, and he had some production, and I thought he did mean a lot to the style of the offense that Matt Nagy likes to play to. But this year has been next to nothing.
Kind of a microcosm of what the whole year's been like compared to what it was a year ago, because, you know, Burton almost seemed like, along with Allen Robinson, one of Trubisky's guys last year. You know, whenever you get in a little bit of trouble, you know, he always had found a way to find Burton or Allen Robinson, maybe Burton to a little lesser extent, but he was one of those safety valves that Mitch seemed to trust. And then starting with playoff weekend against the Philadelphia Eagles, it all seemed to kind of roll down hill from there, and he's never been able to get off track. And yeah, you look at this Bears tight end situation now compared to the way they wanted to use some of these guys, and they're bringing the former tackle back into the mix, I think, for tomorrow night's
Bradley
game.
Saul, who did score a touchdown last year against the Rams. Sunday Night Football. Remember the little trickery? Remember when Matt Nagy's offense was fun? Remember last year, Chris? It wasn't all that long ago, but it was innovative, and he added some tricks at the goal line, and it was just fun, and it was a breath of fresh air, and it gave us hope that this could be a legit offense, a modern-day offense moving forward. And it has been excruciating to watch this season.
Well, I kind of tie these into, this is why there's hope. Last year, last week, the Bears 3 touchdowns.
Yes.
Over the last week, suddenly the Blackhawks offense comes alive. Northwestern today.
Okay.
Look out. We're starting to stack up the points again after it was sometimes drudgery watching, to be quite honest, all three offenses and what they've been doing so far this year. And who knows, maybe something's clicking, but, you know, you're also going up against a pretty good defense tomorrow night, too.
You have Aaron Donald and Clay Matthews and those guys. And, you know, the thing with Trubisky, and a lot of people, I've been very critical of Matt Nagy's play calling. It has been questionable. If you are running on third and one up the middle with Tariq Cohen, you are a bad play caller. We have seen that multiple times this year, Chris. Wow. It's just head-scratching stuff we've seen from Matt Nagy. But Mitch Trubisky just looks lost out there. Mm. And I don't mean to pile on Trubisky. He's getting a ton of heat. And I think a big reason, too, like, look, it's not Mitch Trubisky's fault that they drafted him second and traded all those picks away. He doesn't have to apologize for that. Mm-hmm. That was the Bears' decision. If you want to draw criticism from that, hand it to Ryan Pace in the front office. That was their decision to give away all those picks and to go get Mitch Trubisky. But last year, I bought into the hype going into this Bears season. I think I pegged him at 12-4, something like that. Because last year, I thought it was legit what we saw from the offense wasn't consistent enough to make you feel completely comfortable about it, but it certainly showed flashes to make you a little bit optimistic about this offense moving forward. And Mitch Trubisky last year, he made a lot of plays that I think a lot of people are forgetting, where he would sense some pressure and he would make a play running the ball and he would pick up a key first down. The best quarterbacks in the league find ways to get first downs on third down, to move the chains, keep the drive going. And he did that a lot last year. I really believe he did. And he made some throws. The throw he made to Allen Robinson in the playoff game that got him into field goal range, I thought was very impressive. He showed me enough last year for me to buy into the 12-4, the 11-5. The Bears are legit Super Bowl contenders. This year, I don't know what it is. It does appear to me that the Bears don't trust him all that much in sense of play calling. I just don't know how the guy can possibly have gotten worse in year three of his NFL career.
Yeah, and I'm in agreement with you because people tend to forget real easily. There was undoubtedly a step made last year. The question going into this year, with all the Kool-Aid that was being drunk in the offseason, yeah, based on what we did see last year, was whether there would be that next incremental step in terms of his reads, in terms of not locking onto that first guy and staying there, and, yeah, and finding his second and third options. And to be quite honest, I'll preface this by saying I haven't come close to, nearly close to, watching every down of every game this year. It's more of a casual watch, turn it on for a little while here, turn it off, and then come back to it. But those times I have seen it, it's quite evident that the confidence is lost. Probably the one game I watched most this year was the opener, because I was curious to see, okay, they're going to take off from here. They've had all summer to get ready for this game, to put your stamp down on this division once more, going up against your arch rival. You had all offseason to prepare. And then the old sad trombone season opener that they had offensively, and that just seemed to shake things up. I mean, yeah,
big, they ended giant, up with loud thud.
They ended up winning their next three,
yeah,
and now the regression again. So, to what degree this is salvageable, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you're one of those believers that, you know, you see what you can do with Chase Daniel. I don't necessarily agree with that, because in the position you're in right now, going to Chase Daniel with everything else that's going on here, just to try and salvage a push into the postseason, isn't what you need to accomplish from a long-term standpoint. And I know there are others there who are saying it's just going to be a waste of time if you keep throwing Mitch out there, too.
Well, I'll say this. There's no reason to put Chase Daniel in. If they lose this game, they're not going to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They're not going to leapfrog the Vikings and the Seahawks. Seahawks right now might end up finding a way to top the Niners in the NFC West. So, and the Vikings are playing pretty good football. You got to jump teams. So even if they win out, they could potentially still miss the playoffs. So if they lose this week, they're as good as dead. The season's over. I don't really know what the point of putting Chase Daniel is. If anything, it's you're taking away opportunities to cling on to any hope. And the Bears are going to ride Mitch Trubisky for as long as they possibly can, because Ryan Pace is tied to him. Ryan Pace's job is very much on the line. There's a direct correlation between Mitch Trubisky's success and how long Ryan Pace will be in Chicago as the Bears' general manager. That's just the fact of the matter. That's what it is. I mean, if you're going to give away all those pieces for a player to move up one pick, they're going to do everything they possibly can for their reputation, for their resume, for actually winning games, to make Mitch Trubisky good. So, you know, it's a frustrating time. To the point I was getting at earlier is that, like, Matt Nagy, I've been very critical of his play calling, and everybody's screaming at the TV, go up tempo or get him out of the pocket. A lot of those times last year, those weren't design rollouts for Mitch Trubisky. A lot of those times was him sensing the pressure and understanding of where the play is going and getting out of the pocket on his own. So some of that, yes, goes to Nagy. Some of it goes to Mitch Trubisky. I'm glad we started off a little Bears rant here, Chris, because I've been so fired up this season.
I got my Kwiatkowski jersey on.
There you go. Hey, you know what? They actually might have a decision to make with him, because he's set to hit the open market, and he looked pretty dang good when he's played this year.
Well, there's still, with Trevathan out, there's still a body of work ahead of him here just to help make that decision.
Yeah, too. And as you heard, Trey Burton, Bears tight end, placed on injured reserve. They haven't placed the injured reserve on Danny Trevathan after that. I'm sure you saw that gruesome left elbow injury suffered in the Lions
game.
Hard
to believe that won't eventually be coming, though.
I'm thinking it depends. They're probably thinking is, like, if they lose this game, they're probably like, just put him on IR at this point. But if they win, that sliver of hope continues for Bears fans.
It's elbow season. Akeem Hicks' elbow, Danny's elbow, and Mitch's elbow,
and
too.
And you know what? Just to bring this to a whole nother topic, but our Bears editor Adam Hogue puts us on Twitter of a slow-motion video replay saying, you know, his theory is that this is a correlation into the roughing the passer rules and how ticky-tack the rules are. When those became more strict, a lot of us initially thought, this could lead to injuries for defensive players trying to hold up. Rather than fall and roll, you're trying to plant a hand, plant your hand, and things start bending the way they're not supposed to bend, Chris. I think maybe that's a factor into it, but that's a whole nother, my own whole nother conspiracy.
I brought in a Tyler Bray jersey for you, too.
Tyler Bray, what a name. What a call. All right, he's Chris Bowden. I'm Kevin Powell. You're listening to The Beat on 720 WGN. We'll dive into some Blackhawks stuff because we have the man, Chris Bowden, who knows the Blackhawks like the back of his hand. So we'll talk to Chris about that next here on 720 WGN. This is The Beat here on 720 WGN. 5:20 in the afternoon. Kevin Powell with you alongside Chris Bowden. He's wearing a quarter zip gray sweater with a Blackhawks logo on it, looking real good as he gets set for the Blackhawks pregame show.
My uniform.
Your uniform. I like that.
Game uniform away from the United States.
Put the eye black under the eyes. You don't really get into it. Put some gloves on. Right. Let's talk about our Chicago Blackhawks, who have been playing much, much better of late. We've all kind of just been waiting for them to turn the corner, and it feels like they're kind of getting there, Chris.
Yeah, and we'll see how they – it's going to be interesting tonight because we'll see how they fare against this team. There are two games that unfortunately stick out like a sore thumb this season in terms of ones you're trying to forget about, and they came within about 10 days of each other. Actually, maybe a little less than that. It was a week and a half ago. They were in Nashville, and they were outshot 51-20. They were only outscored 3-0 thanks to Robin Leonard, who made 48 stops, many of them in highlight reel and fascinating fashion. But the score probably deserved to be much more lopsided than that. And it was one of those games where the Hawks just didn't seem like they could get out of their own way. The compete levels were at one end of the spectrum for the home team compared to the other for the Blackhawks. You could probably also say the same thing at the end of that four-game road trip about their game in San Jose. But after that game in San Jose, which was two Tuesdays ago, they came back and they decided to go back to a little bit more to last season style, a little bit more wide open style. Jeremy Colleton's main concern, and every Blackhawk fan's main concern coming into this season, was when they looked at the goals against average and the shots against last year and saw 3.55, and that was 30th or 31st in the NHL. You have to get that down if you're going to have a stand a chance to get into the playoffs this year. Well, they just couldn't seem to figure out. Jeremy went to a system where they kept a fourth guy back lower in the defensive zone trying to protect the net and the goaltender, but they had difficulty finding ways to hold on to the puck and generate any sustained offense. Well, Jeremy made a little tweak, brainstormed with some of the players, I think, as well, about just leaving three guys back, which was more their system of last year, have the opposite side winger from the puck, not to get too technical, but in layman's terms, with four guys down in the own, deep in their own zone, they decided to bring one guy up higher. That was the guy on the opposite side of the puck. So when they did get possession, they could break out a little more quickly and a little bit more in transition, which is kind of the way they did things last year. And things have certainly opened up, starting with the Vancouver game and the 1, 2, 3, 4 games since. And since then, I think they've scored 15, 16, 17 goals in those four games. So they've been rewarded from that aspect, and they're still giving up a ton of shots, though. I think
a lot.
A lot of
Corey
shots.
Corey Crawford and Robert Leonard deserve some sort of medal as we've made our way through the
well,
season here.
Well, I think, and that is the reason why Jeremy's decided to roll the dice on this, because yeah, he sees how good those guys have been. How sustainable it is, whether they're going to have to switch off in the middle of the second period and have each guy play every game for half
a breather.
We'll have.
I mean, Leonard's second in save percentage in all of the NHL. He's been such a great signing for the Blackhawks. They got Nashville tonight, 6:30. Nashville is the top scoring team in the NHL, right, so they're going to be tested tonight.
Yeah, and you know, that was really a one-sided game back there two and a half weeks ago. And the Blackhawks, now that they have a little mojo going, and actually Nashville has fallen back since that particular game. They've won only one of their five or six games since then. The Blackhawks seem anxious to go back there and see how they can do in this new system. I don't think it can get any worse than it was 2.5 weeks ago in that 3-0 loss. So it'll be interesting to see.
They got 7 points out of the possible last eight. Correct.
Right.
They got 3 wins in 4 games and 1 shootout loss. So they're getting 4 consecutive games with points.
That was last, the one they didn't was last Saturday against Pittsburgh, ironically. They had a great amount of success over the past decade or so. So the thing about this Nashville team, Looking at my notes, I'll throw this in the pregame too. So here's a little preview. In their last 13 meetings against Nashville, that includes the 2017 playoff series, last time the Hawks were in the playoffs. Last 13 games, the Hawks have scored 19 goals against Nashville. So with this uptick in offense here lately, we'll see if that translates against a team that they have struggled against offensively over the course of the last, you know, three seasons or so. That was the lasting memory of what we've last seen the Blackhawks in the playoffs, and we'll see if this tweak will work.
Does Nashville still try to blacklist Blackhawks fans from getting into the arena? Remember that whole thing? Because Hawks fans are the best in the world, and we're overtaking arenas across the country,
right?
Especially because everyone in Chicago, like, who doesn't love Nashville? Nashville's awesome, right? You've been to Nashville, Chris?
Oh, yeah.
It's a great town. If you go to Nashville and you don't have fun, then you just don't know how to have fun. I mean, it's an amazing town. And Hawks fans were just completely overtaking Bridgestone Arena. Right. They're like, oh, hey, everybody take it easy. Let me see your ID. Where are you from?
They had a ticket order with a Chicago area zip code on it. They put a block on that.
Thought it was kind of lame.
I did see the Preds tweet out something a little bit later about a warning about counterfeit tickets.
Ooh.
So the only way your tickets are the real thing is if they're aligned with such and such and so and so. So
gotta be careful out
there. Yeah, we'll see how many white and red jerseys are out there now.
Hawks and Predators tonight at 7. The pregame's in an hour with that man, Chris Bowden. Always does a great job, and then he'll be on for the postgame. If they lose, be sure to call in 312-981-7200 and completely overwhelm Chris with phone calls and opinions.
We can talk about my philosophy on that when we come back.
You're listening to The Beat on 720 WJM. More to come. Welcome back to The Beat on 720 WGN, 5:35 on this Saturday evening, and it's pitch black outside. Least favorite parts about winter is how little daylight we have. Chris Bowden, he's sitting shotgun.
Speaking of little daylight.
Yeah, right. always great to see the Chris Bowden here at WGN. Chris, of course, your pre- and post-game host for Chicago Blackhawks hockey, and he will be on in less than an hour. For our Blackhawks pregame. Hawks getting set to take on the Predators. I want to talk with we're going to get to Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick held a workout in Atlanta today.
There's no shortage of drama.
I know. We were like game planning here before we came on. That's why I sound a little flustered. I'm like, okay, where do we go? There's like a lot of stories rolling in here. Tua Tagovailoa, the Alabama quarterback who is going to be probably the second quarterback drafted, might not. He suffered a horrible hip injury, it appears, during that game. He had to get carted out of the field, out of the stadium. So there was that news. We're still digesting and kind of. I walked in this morning and Lou Manfredini came up to me, and one of the first things he asked about was the Myles Garrett incident. Mm-hmm. And if I don't think everybody, just about everybody, whether you're a sports fan or not, saw this and what went down in between the Browns and the Steelers late in that game. Heated rivalry, 135th meeting between those two teams. Both teams not having great years, some frustrations, etc. Mason Rudolph, who's been in for Ben Roethlisberger, who's done for the season, quarterbacking for the Steelers late in that game. Browns were up 21-7. They ended up winning that game. Myles Garrett, defensive end, star defensive end for the Cleveland Browns, within the Defensive Player of the Year conversation.
10 sacks already.
10 sacks. Sacks Mason Rudolph. And we've seen it before where guys, maybe somebody says something or maybe a little extra nudge on the ground after a tackle. And the next thing you know, tempers flare, fists are thrown. Maybe a guy's throws a fist, which I always thought was so stupid. It's like, they have a helmet on. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
In this case, Myles Garrett, who is a large human being, was able to rip the helmet off of Mason Rudolph, and then he swung and he connected, Chris. I mean, it was a pretty good shot on top of Mason Rudolph. This guy who's also dealt with concussions this season as well. Myles Garrett got the longest suspension by the NFL from an in-game infraction in league history, out indefinitely. Mm-hmm. This may even linger into next season, Chris.
And I think totally justified. Totally justified with what the league was able to do with that. First of all, I'll preface this by saying Mason Rudolph does look like a punchable character. but he also tried grappling the helmet off of Garrett initially. However, To take it to that extreme, yeah, it's one thing ripping a helmet off just in retaliation because that guy tried to do it to you. But then to go around and rear back and swing it, and I know a lot of the national television conversation about it also was what, you know, he hit him with the open end of the helmet. If that had been the crown of the helmet that ends up hitting Mason Rudolph,
yeah, some people were doing demonstrations of slamming a helmet onto a chair to show what it can do.
That would have done severe, severe damage to Mason Rudolph, needless to say. But all for the suspension that came through, you know, how deep they take this into next season. But, you know, I know even Akeem Hicks tweeted out, well, if you don't run to it by trying to take the guy's helmet off initially. And
yeah, Keith was kind of backing Gary.
Right.
And look, maybe the Browns were, the Steelers had some tape, some Bears practice tape from earlier in the year because Kyle Long did this to a teammate. Fortunately, he didn't connect.
Right.
But Kyle Long and a teammate got into it. Tempers flare in football. I get it. I get all of that. And things happen. You can't do this. Not for me, too. And really, just in any events now, Chris, in life, whatever it may be, the political side of things, arts, sports, business, whatever it may be, there always seems to be these moments that all of a sudden they're lightning rod moments and social media blows up. And this is one of those instances, right? I mean, everybody had a comment about this instance. There are so many people in just modern day, Chris, that you just see their posts and you're like, damn, you're an idiot. I did not know you were an idiot.
Take a breath.
Let's let this
perspective.
Dust settle for a second.
Now, this is definitely more severe and certainly a greater talking point rather than just about a win or a loss.
Right, but there are people who are like tweeting out photos and then they have arrows pointed at certain areas accusing Mason Rudolph of doing this. They're like going X's and O's and breaking down everything. It's like, what are you talking about? You people are losing your mind on social media. And like, it's like respected reporters that are journalists, and I'm looking at themselves just make themselves become a complete fool for the world to see. It's pretty incredible.
It's all about getting the reaction, whether
likes,
you know,
and
you're the host
and retweets,
or the reporter.
And I'm guilty of putting plenty of dumb stuff out there, Chris, but more often than not, I try to really keep perspective on
stuff. Take a step back.
Take a breath and remember what actually matters in the world.
Yeah,
sports, people.
It's why I had to chuckle when you gave out the call-in number for Blackhawks postgame.
312-981-7200. Air your frustrations with Chris Bowden following every Blackhawks game here on 720.
Well, after every Blackhawks loss,
that's when
they call. So we learned early on in our post gameage here that, you know, being a psychiatrist for Blackhawks fans after a loss is way above my pay grade. So
you've been covering sports in this town for quite some time, Chris. Yeah. You've dabbled in just about every team, right? Baseball, Bears, Blackhawks. Which fan base, and I guess it's probably evolved because of what we had just mentioned with social media and that, but is it Bears still because it's one game a week and there's so much hope every year?
Probably.
Like, which fan base loses it the most?
Probably, but I will argue because I'm around it a whole lot more that hockey Twitter can be a real dark place sometimes.
Why is that?
A dark hole because there are these things that there are these people referred to as hockey snobs. They know everything. Okay. And they have all the answers. I don't think it's much different than some of the other sports. You know, whether you love or hated Joe Madden or, you know.
These are like the crazy hockey dad coaches you're talking about, screaming at refs in like an 8-year-old Kiwi hockey game.
And, you know, just to go through a process of, let's think about this. Until over the past 10 days, some of the stuff I was seeing on Twitter regarding Jeremy Colleton's future. Let's step back and think about this for a minute because, you know, he helped turn around a team's fortunes. It took a while, but he eventually did that last year to where there was a positive vibe here. And now, 3 weeks into the season, because you don't like what you're seeing, you want to run the guy already when he has another full year left on his contract.
And it's
after
never going to happen. He's Stan Bowman's guy. Right. I mean, like, it's they're linked together.
Right. Now, so just some of the hot takes here, the hothead hot takes, the knee jerks emphasis on jerks, just gets totally out of hand where people just want to take out their anger on their keypads and with their fingertips and, you know, logic be damned. So,
whatever happened to the good old days of just bottling up all this negative energy and frustration and airing it out to your family around the dinner table?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the good old days.
That's right.
You don't have to bother me on social media.
My mashed potatoes are cold.
I like to do that at family holidays. I like to drop like little grenades here and there just to see what happens.
Yeah.
So what do you think of Trump and Russia, and then just walk away? Just see what happens, you know?
Oh,
stuff like that. So
happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Miles Garrett, we're going to get into the Colin Kaepernick stuff. Some stuff kind of went down today regarding that. I'm going to break it all down. I don't want to just start kind of blabbing about this. But Colin Kaepernick, he's been out of the league for 2.5 years now.
Mm-hmm. 2016, last time he played a game.
Settled a grievance with the league earlier this year. After he filed a grievance, there was a settlement. We don't know for sure how much that settlement was. There are reports anywhere from $1 to $10 million. Kaepernick goes away. No team in the NFL wants to sign this guy for whatever reason. And out of nowhere, week 12 in the NFL 2019-2020 season, the NFL decides they're going to throw a workout for Colin Kaepernick and invite all 32 teams. The question I continue to have is why now? How did this come about, and why is the NFL doing it? We'll get into that next, right here on 720 WGN. Colin Kaepernick. The Colin Kaepernick saga continues. Was he blacklisted from the NFL? Was he not? Why wouldn't any team sign him? And then out of nowhere, earlier this week, the NFL says, we're going to go out there and we're going to host a workout for Colin Kaepernick to showcase his abilities to help him get back in our league after there was much feuding. Should he kneel? Should he not kneel? I never knew we would all yell at each other about kneeing or not kneeing, but it happened. Everybody's got an opinion on Colin Kaepernick. So the gist of it is that the NFL goes, okay, Saturday, November 16th in Atlanta at the Falcons practice facility. Come on down, reps from 32 NFL teams, and you can see Colin Kaepernick. Hugh Jackson, a former NFL coach, was going to put him through some drills. He was expected to throw to some receivers, about 60 passes total, run through some classic football drills, all those sorts of things. But this was not open to the media, to the press. People like you and Chris, Chris and I, we wouldn't have been able to go in there. So all of a sudden, about 30 minutes before this thing is set to get going, Colin Kaepernick moves the location to a nearby local high school and makes it open to the public. NFL not happy about this, Chris. Let me read you in part from their statement that the NFL released. We are disappointed. This is from NFL statement on Colin Kaepernick moving his workout. Quote, we are disappointed that Colin did not appear for his workout. He informed us for that decision at 2:30 today, along with the public. Today's session was designed to give Colin what he has consistently said he wants, an opportunity to show his football readiness and desire to return to the NFL. 25 clubs were present for the workout, and all 32 clubs, their head coaches, general managers, and other personnel executives would have received video footage of the interview and workout shot by the Falcons video crew. There are some other notes in there as well. The gist of it is the Colin Kaepernick NFL battle continues.
Kaepernick, in making that decision, wanted total transparency, so I suppose some degree of fear that the league could spin it one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
He and his quote unquote team had requested previously, when they were approached about this, holding it on a Tuesday, which would allow more freedom and the likelihood of more NFL teams being able to attend, because Tuesday is a usual off day during the NFL season. There are no games. There are no college games. Well, except for what is it? The Mac
action, baby.
Right. So being on a Saturday, head coaches wouldn't be able to come out, or offensive coordinators or any offensive assistants, I would imagine. GMs, in all likelihood, unless their team has a home game, wouldn't be able to come out. And that was part of his argument. It would have been easier to schedule this on a Tuesday rather than a Saturday during college football season, when a lot of GMs and scouts are out scouting college football games. So he was questioning the legitimacy of the NFL's intention on doing this. And, you know, this is a guy who's in his third year in exile. And granted, that last season, which included a game here at Soldier Field, Kaepernick was bad. The whole San Francisco 49ers team, 2-14, was bad that year. Nevertheless, I think his touchdown to interception ratio that year, as bad as they were, was 16-4.
Now, with all that being said,
I was under Chip Kelly, and he's 32 years old now, and
wasted some prime years.
Yep, and you know his prime. He took a team to he won a Super Bowl. He took another team to the NFC Championship game. It wasn't he, but he was the quarterback at the time.
Different style. Went to the Super Bowl. Lost the Super Bowl to Baltimore.
He took him to the Super Bowl.
Correct. There was a moment there with the Jim Harbaugh-led 49ers and Colin Kaepernick, and they had a lot of young talent. It looked like, okay, this might be a team to reckon with.
His first NFL start?
The Bears do. Right, yeah. So,
and who was his offensive coordinator at the time? Greg Roman. Who's Lamar Jackson's offensive coordinator right now? Greg Roman. So, I know this is a hot button, baby.
But lightning rod on steroids.
I'm on the one side that you look at some of the quarterbacks who are second and third string in the league right now, and Colin Kaepernick isn't better than what. My opinion is Colin Kaepernick's better than a lot of those guys right now, and could have been over the last couple of years, at least in a backup role. But
no doubt about
extenuating circumstances.
Again, it's a hot rod issue. I agree. I will say this, that do I think it's so funny how we talk about sports now, too, where it's like the word collusion is in this. Is there collusion involving NFL owners? Did the NFL owners communicate and say, let's keep this guy out of the league? I'm sure there are some owners that completely disagreed with Colin Kaepernick's decision to take a knee. I'm sure there were plenty of owners, or some, who thought it was just fine. They're all U.S. citizens, just like all of us. We all know how people feel about this.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that you can really fight against. Or did some teams simply say they didn't want they might be just fine with him kneeling, but they didn't want to bring a circus to
the blowback, the headache,
and is the upside worth it? I mean, look, if the best quarterback in the NFL does that. It's a very complicated matter. Now, I will say this, too. If the Bears didn't have a rep down there, and I don't know for sure, there was 25 teams represented, that is completely irresponsible by the Chicago Bears. There is no excuse. And I'm not even saying they should sign him. Who knows how good he is? And who knows where he's at?
Don't close any door at that position.
It's called due diligence, folks. You get someone down there. You're a billion-dollar organization. You have to have somebody down. They have every single resource possible. You send the assistants to the assistant scout. You get somebody down there. It's inexcusable. Well, now, I don't know for sure if as people I've talked to, Bears reporters and beat guys, they haven't been able to confirm and haven't heard anything back on whether or not the Bears were sending anybody. And Matt Nagy was asked, he's like, I don't know, you're going to have to ask personnel. Ryan Pace does not talk to the media during the season, which is absurd if you ask me. Ryan Pace should be talking to the media at least once in season, if not more. You're the general manager. So I think there was some frustration from a lot of Bears fans just because it's like, how do you just and the NFL said they were going to provide film to all teams, but like you're the Chicago Bears, you're in the NFL. Get someone down there just to see. And honestly, Chris, doesn't the curiosity factor just sway somebody from the organization down there?
Sure.
I want to go see. I can't wait. I hope we see footage of how he looks like, just out of curiosity.
Yeah, and I think we will. And, you know, obviously, seemingly the most connected media guy in the NFL, Adam Schefter, has been kind of going along throughout the day, updating us on what's going on. And he had a tweet about an hour ago. After today's workout at Atlanta, an NFL executive at Colin Kaepernick's throwing session said his arm talent is, quote, elite, and is the same as when he came out of college. He said that Kaepernick threw the ball well, and then quotes from Kaepernick afterward, after the workout, quote, I've been ready, I'm staying ready, and I'll continue to be ready. The ball's in their court. We're ready to go.
All right, we'll see. I'm really interested to see if teams sign him this year, or was this a tryout for next year? Again, I have so many questions.
I would doubt it.
It's almost impossible at this point, right, to get the guy acclimated and to be even worthy, unless a team really wants to beat everyone else and just get him on the roster so you don't have to battle for him in the offseason.
I guess that depends on how impressed people were across the board with what they saw of him today, too.
I mean, does a team also do it just to as a statement? You know? Like, yeah, well, unity with Kaepernick.
It's a statement that's going to ring great with some people and just turn a lot of other people off.
Is there an owner out there who says, you know what, go get Kaepernick. It's time we take a stand. Something like that. You know,
the one team he did meet with
the Broncos
was a year or so ago he met with Seattle as well.
Seattle, and I'm pretty sure John Elway, who runs the Broncos, had him over for dinner.
And you think
not too long
and
ago.
You think with Seattle with the system that Russell Wilson is in, that would be.
Yeah.
That kind of fit.
Right. So a lot to sort out with Kaepernick. I'm sure there are people listening with plenty of opinions on the matter, and understandably. Colin Kaepernick working out down in Atlanta today. He was supposed to do it at the Falcons facility, and then 30 minutes before, he informed the NFL and the public that he was moving in and doing it on his own terms at a local hospital. So Kaepernick holding the workout, and this pops up on my WGN TV. Kaepernick surrounded by all sorts of cameras, and as we look at footage, that looks just about the exact same as we saw as he made some throws at a local high school to some receivers, and there was a whole lot of media there. I'm interested to hear from Kaepernick and from people who saw him live. You're listening to The Beat. I'm Kevin Powell. He's Chris Bowden. More to come, and news is next on 720 WGN. Dipping into the Colin Kaepernick audio, we'll get to do the full cut. He just met with the press after his workout down in Atlanta. Welcome back to The Beat. I'm Kevin Powell alongside Chris Bowden. Blackhawks pregame 22 minutes away, and the man that will give you that pregame is Chris Bowden.
I better get to work on that here.
You need to go? I can go solo here if you need.
I just hop on Troy's back as usual. Yeah, let him carry the thing, you know?
Set him up. Let him go off.
Right.
I like it. We were talking about Colin Kaepernick. He held this workout down in Atlanta. Earlier in the week, the NFL was like, okay, Colin, we're going to hold the workout for you. And they invited all 32 teams to try to help him get back in the league. For whatever reason, this moment came in week 12, out of nowhere, in the middle of November, they decided to do it. So 30 minutes before he's supposed to do this workout, which was closed to the press, the NFL would not allow the media into the Atlanta Falcons practice facility.
They would film it.
They would have
somebody film it on their behalf.
Colin Kaepernick, 30 minutes before, informed the public and informed the NFL that he would be doing it on his own terms at a different location. So he ended up going to a local high school. And you're seeing tweets from Adam Schefter covering the NFL. How many teams were in attendance? The NFL initially said 25 teams would be there, and all 32 teams would get filmed.
Yeah, this was off the ESPN story about it, is that only 8 teams were represented there.
So I'm interested because this was a last-minute change. How many teams were at the practice facility?
You do wonder whether...
And either one... Said,
all right, I'm sick of this. I'm not going to go.
Either one couldn't get there on time, or two said... Forget it.
They didn't have Google Maps.
This is right. Waze wasn't working. Or two, they said what you just said. Either one, they couldn't make it, or two, they were probably like, "This is already a zoo. This is already a circus." Yeah. And I wouldn't completely blame them. I mean, in some sense, I get where Kaepernick's coming from, and I don't know how genuine this was from the NFL or why they were doing it. But him pulling that move 30 minutes for him doing what he did. It just feels like a shot at the NFL. Like, come on, for the love of God, can we get this thing figured out here? You know. So,
and apparently, prior to this setup, it was revealed that he had requested a Tuesday instead. He had requested it to be open to the media, and he was denied that. This is what he was set up with.
I don't know why they didn't allow the media in the first place.
No.
I don't know. So, Colin Kaepernick just wrapped up his workout down in Atlanta at the local high school, and here's what he had to say. Reporters following it.
I appreciate y'all coming out. That means a lot to me. Our biggest thing with everything today was making sure we had transparency in what went on. We weren't getting that elsewhere, so we came out here. It's important that y'all are here. Y'all been attacked for the last 3 years. Y'all continue to be attacked. We appreciate what y'all do. We appreciate you being here today. We appreciate the work you do for the people and telling the truth. That's what we want in everything. I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why I came out here, showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth. Stop running from the people. We're out here. We're ready to play. We're ready to go anywhere. My agent, Jeff Nally, is ready to talk to any team. I'll interview with any team at any time. I've been ready. I'm staying ready. And I'll continue to be ready. And to all the people that came out here today to support, I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. To the people that aren't here, I'm thinking of you. I appreciate you supporting from where you are. We'll continue to give you updates as we hear. We'll be waiting to hear from Roger Goodell, the NFL, the 32 teams. We'll let you know if we hear from them. Ball's in their court. We're ready to go.
There you have it, Colin Kaepernick following his workout in Atlanta today. Still sounds as passionate as he did last time we've heard him speak publicly, Chris.
He's a fearless dude, I'll say that. And let me also say, you know, we were talking about whether the Bears, you know, they should be there, you know, opening every door. I'm a friend with a lot of people in the Bears organization, and let me just say that they have been among the leaders in the NFL in terms of you know, social justice initiatives,
right,
what they've done and donated to and things like that. So, that's separate from, you know, going down and seeing what this guy
right.
can do, which we also, you know, you and I at least think is pretty important just to go and have a look see. But, you know, let's also keep in mind that the local NFL team isn't one to run from what he was standing
my
for.
My criticism toward the organization had nothing to do with any sort of social,
But that's what this is all about, too.
But I was just saying to the Bears, I didn't think they were not going because of that. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I mean, George McCaskey and the work they do, public relations, is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against the Bears in that regard. I'm just talking about a strictly scouting personnel component of it all. And the curiosity factor. Don't we all want to see how he's going to look? So, yeah, I didn't mean the criticism of the Bears in that regard.
I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, I didn't think you were doing it, but we do. People sometimes hear certain things and don't hear others.
Good to clarify. Colin Kaepernick, for whatever reason, I think for some people, whether it's a reluctance to accept the message he's trying to put out there, or if it's Kaepernick just not doing a great job of getting his exact message out there. But I think for a lot of people, they're not exactly sure what he's upset about or what his message is to people, which for whatever reason, maybe it got lost in the shuffle to some, maybe just some people simply saw him take a knee during an anthem, and to them that is just a no-brainer, the most unpatriotic thing you could ever see.
I think that's more than anything. I think he's been pretty good in terms of trying to explain what he was doing. One bad mistake, I think the worst mistake he made was the socks that he wore during training camp one year. But I think beyond that, he has been fairly succinct and very eloquent in trying to express why he's doing what he's doing because of what he believes in and what he's seen, what's happened. You know, from that standpoint, I think he's been fairly clear. It's just what people are hearing from what he's saying.
That's the gist of what I'm getting at. Is it just simply the reluctance of people to hear his message? Because
mm-hmm.
his message has been against injustice by police against people, African American people. That's his message, and so I don't know, for whatever reason, some people just have been reluctant to do it. But he is a hot rod for sure. I really hope he gets back in the NFL.
Yeah,
I do. I mean, the guy's good enough to be in the NFL. He's clearly been blacklisted, at least appears that way. So, I don't know. Maybe this is a good step forward for Colin Kaepernick and the NFL. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Kevin Powell. This is the Beat on 720 WGN. Still more to come before we hand it off to Chris on the Blackhawks pregame. Favorite barbecue in the city, Chris Bowden. Go.
Oh, barbecue in the city.
It's been a while. Chicagoland. I'll let you. I'll let you think. I'll go first though. Okay, I got Green Street Smoked Meats over
been
there.
In there. The West. I can't argue with that.
Everything I've had there is dynamite. My litmus test for barbecue is brisket, because brisket's the most difficult thing to smoke. If you overdo it, it's dry. If you undercook it, you're eating a leather shoe. It's the most difficult to get. When it comes to barbecue, if you do a good brisket, you probably do everything else very well.
And that's an interesting room over there, too.
It's very cool. Very
it's
cool
like
room.
A garage atmosphere almost.
You go down Green
a
Street.
Warehouse.
It's a little alley you walk down. And you walk in, it's really dimly lit, and there's a big bar, and then it's cafeteria style. You walk through. I'm a huge fan. And, of course, Smoke is a very popular one in Chicago.
Yeah, and I've been to a couple places. I'm trying to remember who else. You know, I don't have a whole lot of complaints about Real Urban Barbecue.
Oh, big fan.
Yep.
Big fan.
I love that place, too. So I guess that'll, off the top of my head, be my vote for that. So
all right.
Barbecue talk till the bottom of the hour.
I honestly don't even tempt me. I could do barbecue. I could do food, Chicago food, for an hour. Curtis Koch, producing the show, by the way. Got to give him a shout-out. He's been doing an outstanding job all afternoon.
He's been doing every show this afternoon.
He really has been. He just says he has a cot in the producer booth over there just posting up.
This is my new apartment from now on.
Good views. You got a favorite barbecue spot?
there's a smokehouse place. I can't remember the name of it. It escapes me. But it's at, right at the base of the Hancock Building.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of it to save me right
we'll
now.
We'll Google it. All right. We'll all go on a barbecue run one of these days. Right. Okay.
Do the Bears get barbecued tomorrow night?
Thank you for that segue, Chris. I needed something to get out of that.
Southern Cut was what I was
thinking. Ooh, Southern Cut's very good. Yeah, big fan. Okay. Bears, Rams, Sunday. Must-win game, you could say. If they lose, I have no idea if there's even a path still of getting to the playoffs. There's a pinch, a sliver of hope right now after beating the Lions on Sunday. Not making the trip to L.A., Trey Burton and Danny Trevathan. Burton actually placed on season-ending injured reserve with a calf injury. Very disappointing season for Trey Burton. Dealt with some injury, wasn't really productive. And Danny Trevathan, heart and soul of that defense, Chris. They're banged up heading into this one. The Rams have some injuries on the offensive line as well. I don't know. I'm trying to convince myself it's going to be close and the Bears will win, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they lose by 7 to 10 points.
Well, speaking of injuries, let's also bring up David Montgomery, who apparently tweaked his ankle in practice.
Yes, he rolled an ankle in practice. Game-time decision.
To be quite honest, and again, I haven't been sitting there breaking down every single play through the Bears, and it's probably good for my health that I haven't been doing that this year because, you know, a lot of times when the Bears are playing, it's also hockey Blackhawk prep time.
I totally get it.
But what's happened to this offensive line? You know, you can say what you want about David Montgomery, you know, being banged up, but this offensive line, which I think a lot of people had such high hopes for entering this season, has there been anything more disappointing, especially with their guy Harry? Their guy Harry coaching him up.
Yeah,
he's expected a lot more than what they've
It's a great point. There have been a lot of letdowns this year. Matt Nagy's play calling, Mitch Trubisky's play, obviously. But I agree, Chris. The offensive line. And last year, look, people that are saying, oh, they shouldn't let Jordan Howard go, whatever. If Jordan Howard's on the team, the record would probably be the exact same. And I'd take David Montgomery over Jordan Howard. This is all due respect to Jordan Howard. He ran his ass off when he was here in Chicago, and he's a fun guy to run. A watch run. Did not fit Matt Nagy's system. But now it's like, well, what is Matt Nagy's system? Because it's not working. It's a great question, Chris. Kyle Long goes on season-ending out. Rashad Coward comes in at right guard. Long wasn't having a good year. They move Cody Whitehair from center. I'm trying to keep track of where we're at right now with that because they keep flip-flopping
James Daniels, Cody Whitehair flip-flops.
Yes, James Daniels is a left guard. They moved him to center. Now it's switcheroo again. And much of that has to do with some of the and a lot of times you hear quarterbacks yelling, Mike, or phrases at the line of scrimmage. What they're doing is setting the blocking scheme. Sometimes the center does it. And that's sort of the thinking was, let's get Whitehair back in there because Mitch didn't say this, but I think the gist of it is Mitch isn't picking up things properly. Let's get a veteran guy in there to call out some blocks. But
and you got Aaron Donald staring you at the other side.
He's pretty good, Chris. He is a ferocious, ferocious man, for sure.
What amazes me, though, are the comps now between Mitch and Jared Goff and how his play has dropped off this season. And
Sean McVay, who was the big innovative head coach offense, his offense has completely sputtered. I think it just
shows
you.
Super Bowl runner-up last year.
Super Bowl runner-up. They're 5-4. Bears are 4-5. But you could draw comparisons for sure. Defense loaded for both teams. Offense has some young, promising players. Quarterbacks that have talent that maybe could be your franchise quarterback. Their offense is sputtered when Sean McVay, Matt Nagy, those guys were supposed to be these young, up-and-coming, offensive-minded, innovative-type guys. And I'm not saying they've been completely horrible in L.A. They've had some games, but not like what anybody was anticipating. So, yeah, I think that's another very interesting storyline is kind of drawing comparisons. Plus, you have, and I know Mac's been quiet over the past 3, 4, 5 weeks. I mean, much of that has to do with the loss of Akeem Hicks, who just eats up the line of scrimmage. That is a massive loss, Akeem Hicks going down. There is still a possibility he could come back. I think the only comes back if they're still in the playoff hunt when they take on the Packers in a few weeks. If not, what's the point of bringing him back? So, but there's still the Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, two of the most talented, nasty defensive players in all of football. Bears' first visit to the LA Coliseum since?
Oof. I don't know.
1990.
I didn't go through my game notes.
Yes, I did. I love the Bears media relations. All kinds of little nuggets in there. That was against the Rams last time that was against the Raiders in 1990. Last time they played the Rams at the LA Coliseum was 1976 or 9. One of those, Chris, somewhere in the late 70s. So in prime time, very watchable.
Well, let's touch on that. Would you, as a national TV viewer, though? Deshaun Watson versus Lamar Jackson?
Ooh, that's a good point.
Or Mitchell. Why was that flexed?
That's a great point. I mean, Chris, you know it always comes down to what? Ratings and interest. Yep. And is Houston, Baltimore going to draw more than L.A. and
Big
Bears?
Cities. I get it. I understand.
So,
I understand.
And I still think even on a national level, like, this could be the last real significant game of the season for really for maybe both teams. Because
and how many more national games do the Bears have besides Thanksgiving after this? Is well, Kansas City a
Chris,
national?
You got the schedule handy. Yeah. Help me out, brother. Yeah. But I think they have one more. They have two. They have a Thursday Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I think Detroit they have a, and then another
There's
Thursday
one more.
Night.
The Dallas. Yeah,
right. The week
Dallas.
After Thanksgiving. So they have a right. full week off and then it's against Dallas. So they have it's
so let's see. That game will end about 10:30, 10:35. Hamp and OB are just going to have to wait until Blackhawks postgame is over with at 11 if they can contain themselves. if they don't blurt into Blackhawks postgame with whatever they're feeling
Chris,
right
they
there.
They might walk in and grab you and throw you out, and not with any disrespect.
I'm glad I'll be at the United Center.
Oh, that's right. Good,
Bears
good.
Have one more Sunday night game. End of the year, it's against the Kansas City Chiefs.
And is that
that's
Dallas game
nighter?
Also a Thursday
that's,
night?
That's on Sunday, the 22nd at home, okay. 7:20
so
start.
The Nagy,
still in
but
Princeton.
Dallas is not. Dallas is
Dallas
not.
Is,
Thursday night football, right?
On the 5th, yeah. Thursday
okay,
night
so
football.
That is. So three more national yeah. games.
Yep.
including
well,
Thanksgiving.
I mean, that shows you like how hyped everybody was about this season, including football executives right. and broadcast. You know, I mean,
and there's always these duds, you know, that look so
year,
that are glistening when the season starts, and then 5-6 weeks later, the luster's off. So.
Final prediction for Sunday, or for tomorrow night? You want to?
I think the Blackhawks beat Buffalo tomorrow night.
Safe play, safe play.
I got to go with the Rams.
Rams.
So, and okay. I'm glad I'll be at the United Center.
I've predicted a Bears win every time. Why stop now? They'll find a way to win. They'll prolong the inevitable and break everybody's hearts in a couple weeks when they're officially eliminated from
glass
the
half full. Powell.
No, let's end up positive here. This has been a great. This was all so much fun, Chris.
Likewise.
Working with you, Chris Bowden, Kevin Powell. This has been the Beat. It was great. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate it. Hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. I hope
time for hockey.
Hope the Bears get a win for you. It's time for pregame Blackhawks hockey with that man, Chris Bowden, right here on 720 WGN.